I'm Shanti, good evening, and a very warm welcome to this session. So today we have with us Sister Gopi from Germany and Brother Hans from Germany. How many of you know them? Okay, definitely a lot of old timers know them. So just few words of introduction about them. So Sister Gopi, she has been with Baba for last 44 years. She took knowledge in the city of Cologne in Germany, and she has taken a lot of sustenance from all the seniors, Dadi Janki, Jayanti Ben, and a lot of seniors. And she has been serving in the center as an instrument for over 40 years. She was also working as well as taking care of the center. She worked as an administrator. She has a very good experience of both Laukik world and also Baba's service. So she's very experienced to clarify all your questions. And we also have Brother Hans, who came to Baba at a very young age while he was still a student of law in the year around 1990. He took knowledge in Boston and he was sustained by seniors again. Sister Sharona was his instrument. He was sustained by Dadi Janki, and he also soon became a very powerful instrument in Germany. And as a professional, he also served many professionals in this area. And today, Brother Hans is also with us to share his vast experience of understanding godly knowledge. So how the session goes is very informal. Anybody has a question, can please come forward and ask. And one of them would answer. Come to the front, and there's a mic waiting for you, and you can ask a question. Feel free to ask any question. This is a family. So, who's going to start?
So our first question, thank you for sharing. Could you please share the method how to write and check your chart, and how to remember Baba easily and effectively? That's one question. After you answer this question, there's two questions. I'm going to ask you the second one. So the first one, how to write and check your chart. Very good question for Brahmins. And how to remember Baba easily and effectively.
Om Shanti, hearty welcome. Yeah. To write a chart for Baba, in the beginning when we start in the 80s, everyone was writing a chart, and it was a chart of 18 points. It becomes even larger, but for me practically it was not so suitable to answer with yes or no. And for me the chart is more a letter to Baba, where I write my feelings, my experience, my what I acknowledged in me and in my life. And then I check it in the evening with Baba how it was and what could be better and where could I improve.
So we have no strategy who is answering, so maybe you get always two sides on it. But as you said, even in the beginning of the 90s, chart, Baba often says in Formuli, so you think you have to write chart. And we asked, and I think I got 10 different charts of different people, like checking lists and questions and all kinds of very sophisticated charts. But somehow, after some time, it all finished. You couldn't really keep it up. I don't know anybody who did such a chart all the time. So what I learned with the time, what Baba is telling us, is we asked Dadi Changi also, if she has a chart. She says she never written something, but every evening she checks her day. So that was her answer. But it could be almost like a diary, you know, that is something very useful. So create your own chart in a sense, what you like to emphasize for a certain time. Like, let me, for next 3 months, check how I am, when do I succeed to remember Baba during the day? When do I practically bring soul conscious into daily activities? Or then let me try for a month to practice the virtue of patience and tolerance and see in the evening when were situations and how did I solve them, you know, like more something which fits to your personal effort you like to make. And it's good to write something down and take some time of reflection in the evening, because this self-feedback helps you, gives inspiration to make faster progress.
And the second part of the first question, how do you remember Baba easily and effectively?
To remember Baba is how relationship I have with him at the present. This helps me to develop the remembrance. Sometimes it's the father, sometimes the friend. And each relationship with Baba has a different content, has a different meaning for me. So when I went to work, he was my boss. And it was not always easy, because I had a Lokik boss. And in the beginning it was so intense. I was sitting in the bureau of the president of the court and was his secretary. And once in the morning he called me. He said, "You always look at me as we are equal, like brothers, brother and sister." He said, "This is not possible." I was shocked. But he felt the feeling behind, that it was not to make him lower than me. It was this feeling, I have another one who is higher than you. And so from this moment and onwards, I was a little bit more aware that my remembrance to Baba has also to fit in my daily life. And this is important, otherwise we block people, and they are also our brother and sisters we want to bring to Baba. So it's better not to be so firm as I was at that time, and make it more natural. And at the end of my life in the work, we came together as group, and we often had the theme to speak about God and virtues and powers. And this is more easier to do the service, and we definitely remember Baba, from whom we get all this. We start the morning with him, we have Murli with him, so he is in our bones. He is even in our thoughts. We have only to make us aware about it. And if I go in relationship, it's easier for me.
I just noticed you have actually a quite interesting pair of souls sitting here who are quite opposite personalities. So Gopi came really by the heart and by the experience, and I came purely by knowledge into the yakya. And so my answer, you know, this everything is remember Baba, what does it really mean? So in the beginning I tried Baba, but it didn't really do anything. I didn't have any feeling or any, you know, was just an intellectual exercise. And then I always had this question, this is not really, doesn't suit to me, you know. And then I read a Murli, and I had really this deep question, what means remembrance and what means even soul conscious? And then Baba said, when you remember anything which comes from Baba, you are in remembrance of Baba. And that was really a relief for me, because that's much more practical. During the day, we come in contact with people and with situations, and when we start using some aspects of a knowledge, like this is now an interesting drama, or there is some karma, or some virtues which Baba gave me are needed here, or let me see this scene as a guest, or as a benefactor, or as a servant for the world, or whatever. You know, we can, for every situation, we find actually a practical, or even many practical applications from the knowledge, which we can really practically use as an attitude, or as an approach, or as a color, which we can bring into that situation. And that is our choice. And then we should be aware, when we do that, we are remembering Baba. Beside that, we can have relationships. Once we ask Dadi Kumarka, how do you practice for relationships with Baba, no? Like teacher, Sadhguru, you know, all. She said, I never remember these relationships. It's just Baba is with me, you know? He's there and supporting, and I can take energy from him. So more like constant companion all the time in any situation, but she wouldn't like separate it into different relationships. So very natural. And just to, because we sometimes become a bit tight by thinking we are not doing right, I think for more natural, we bring for knowledge, for feelings, the attitudes which we get from Baba into our life, for more his energy is in our life, and will be, things will work out well and improve.
Thank you. Now, the second question, and I think this is a question all of us have when we come to Baba. How do we experience good quality Amrit Vela?
As Hans said, we are from different angles, so you get the whole view. You could be happy. From my side is to speak to Baba, to greet him, to create something, and then I let go. I don't have any theme for the morning. It's my greetings to Baba, my awareness, but it's not that I have a special thought to Amrit Vela, I want to do this or that. For me, it's more, Baba, we are meeting this morning. What is now? What is at the moment what you want to give me, and what can I take from you? And only the last 15 minutes I use Amrit Vela for service for the world. So Amrit Vela time is really the time for Baba and me.
Each one has a different situation, each one has a different body, different, also different, like some are night people, other are early birds, other are late birds, no? From our programming, what we also have to see. So it's a very early time to get up. For some, it's easy. They get up, they are awake, and they can easily create the thoughts they like to. But others may be like paralyzed, maybe very tired. So that has a big impact on Amrit Vela. So what my experience is, Amrit Vela actually starts in the evening before. So enough sleep is required, but each one needs also different amount of sleep. Depends also how much stress you have during the day and what is your, your state of your body. But if you go to bed with thoughts of knowledge, with some meditation, with letting go, especially what happened during the day, to look at it and really give it to Baba, that will help your Amrit Vela to improve, because otherwise it's in the dreams and it may be a burden and you wake up with that. So that's one point. And then what is also for me helpful sometimes before I do Amrit Vela, to do some physical exercises actually. I'm doing, really bringing my body into movement, into, I'm doing stretching exercises. I make like, put my leg up for 2-3 minutes so that the whole blood system really comes into movement. It helps me to be able to have some concentrated thoughts. But again, it's, you have to experiment. And also for me helpful to prepare in the evening before a few thoughts of knowledge, be it an extract from the Muli which you really liked from the day before, and you take a few sentences and read them slowly and really accept them, bring them into your mind, and start with that into Amrit Vela. It helps me to not have an empty head and just think Baba and nothing happens, but have something substantial for knowledge. Again, that's, each one is a different personality. No, some they just sit down, think Baba and fall in love and everything is wonderful, but others may have to do some work, and that can be some ideas which help.
Thank you for that. But just to follow up on that, I'd like to ask each of you, has the way that you approach Amrit Vela changed throughout the years?
In my first Amrit Vela, so many bad thoughts appears in me. In me, I was shocked. I thought, this should be Amrit Vela. And a lot of tears. For me, it was the time that Baba could come through me to really bring out a lot of rubbish which was in me. And now it changed. It's not anymore in this kind of rubbish. I have waste thoughts to Amrit Vela, and then when I recognize them, I correct them. So it's a change in Amrit Vela from the beginning till now.
So my big change in Amrit Vela, or difference, is when I'm in Madhuban or not. So here is very easy. And also, when I'm with other Brahmins, it gets much more easier. So if you have a situation where you can come together, maybe have even 15-minute exchange of drishti or something, that actually can raise the quality of Amrit Vela and the experience dramatically. My Amrit Vela over time changed in the sense that I started to, it changes with, for me, with a depth of accepting for knowledge. In the beginning, it's more information and intellectual that's the reality, that is truth. But I did a lot of churning, a lot of research, even in many other areas, science, philosophy and other things, and for more and more I could see how true everything is, how deep, and for more the appreciation came and the feeling what I really have found here and the amazingness of it and for almost unimaginable size. So I couldn't grasp it at the beginning, and I'm still in that process of grasping it as a reality and accepting it more and more. That has a deep impact on Amrit Vela also.
Can I say something? What always has an impact on me to Amrit Vela are the eyes of Baba. When I see the eyes, I get drawn to it, and especially when service has to be done, for example, going to a conference and things like this, it's always that Baba says, follow Father, and that these eyes become the eyes of me. This is what is, when I really want to do service, I concentrate really on the eyes and the feelings which I get out of the eyes of Baba.
Thank you, both of you, for sharing your experience and wisdom. So we can take another question now. Who would like to come and ask a question? Yes, brother. Oh, you would like to ask. Yes, sister.
Om Shanti, since the brother and the sister is from, you want to say where I'm from? Okay, I'm from Guyana. The question that I would like to ask, when you reached Madhavan the very first time, what was your feelings? And especially when you touched Pandava Baba.
Now we have to change the situation here.
So, did you hear the question?
Yes. So I'm going to start. It's a personal question of an experience, and I remember that very well. And that's why I instantly, because each one has a different experience. But what I remember, at that time it was difficult to get here. And it was a long, long, long travel. And first time we came up with an old bus, and it was horrible, took a long time. And in the bus there were a few Apu Nirvasis, old people from Mount Apu, and said, where you are going? And we said, me and my wife, so we are a couple. So we came together in Gyan and first time to Madhavan and to the Brahma Kumaris, and they said, don't go there. No, this is not a good place to go. These are very weak people, they are not good, you shouldn't go to them. So that was the first step. And then we entered the gate of Madhavan, and I think it's still there, walking. It's like you enter in a different world, somehow it's a different feeling, but of course all is new. But I remember exactly, we walked down, and right from Baba's hut, at the corner where you walk down to the dining hall, at that corner there was like a little board, you know, and it said, your father's home, your home. And I started crying.
I came in Gyan in 1982, and at this time in Germany there was a big peace movement, and at this time many came to Baba. So the center sister decided first the brothers go. 15 brothers went with her in February, March to India, and we sisters had to stay back till autumn. And so it was more than 1 year I was already with Baba before my first Madhuban visit. And in this year, there were already a lot of experiences. And so I was well prepared. It was a long journey. We flew from Frankfurt to Delhi, from Delhi in the train to Abu Road, from Abu Road with this old bus up to Pandav Bhavan. But it was the feeling, I am home. It's really my home. And Dadi Prakashmani was standing there, the seniors. It was so natural. They were so close because everything was small. Yeah.
One thing comes in my mind. When I came, as I said, I came as an intellectual, and I also came actually to check out, is God really here, no? And also, fate told us there's no guru. And so one of my, what I wanted to check is how do they deal with the seniors there, with the heads, no? And it was so interesting. In those days, all the daddies were running around and many others, all in white, many old, you don't even know who's a daddy or who is a what, not, you know? And it was so interesting. You couldn't notice who was what, you know? Because everybody treated everyone the same. You could be you ran into a daddy, it could be you ran into a cleaning woman. It didn't make a difference. And that was one thing which really touched me, that those who are the leaders, only gradually you came to know, they were moving naturally around like everyone, and nobody was falling to their feet, and nobody was running after them. It was all very natural, like in a family, it's a grandma, there's a father, there are children, there are friends, there's no difference, and it was exactly that. And that was a thing which really touched me.
Thank you for bringing us to the early days. Let's see. Okay, so far so good with the mic.
One wife. So how do you manage this all the time? Of course, it's all three things, you know, the Lockheed family, the job and career, and journey with Baba.
When I came to Baba, I really was coming with a partner, and both of us joined Brahma Kumaris. So your family is also joining Brahma Kumaris? And that she supported shows you how close she is to Baba and the family, the Yagya. This you should always be aware. It's not that everyone, so from my family, no one came to Baba, but in 1987, my father left the body, and then my mom started to take the course because she saw how strong I was, and that was really impressive for her. And the other sisters and brothers from me, they said, you don't start like Gopi does it. Please be aware. So she stepped a step backwards. But she met Daddy Janki, Daddy Prakashmani. We had retreats together, Daddy Gulzar. But she was very, and he read Murli and everything, but very incognito. And to bring this together, in former time, it was easier because the condition of the world was a different one. Nowadays, to work is really a challenge. And I appreciate each and every Brahman child which is working in the Lokic world and stands there, be available for the task and the people around, and even bring Baba's energy there. You can only, from my side, what I did, be with Baba and the energy. This is the only thing, because the working place is not always a service place in that kind that you can bring many souls. He will tell it different. He has different experience. But in my case, I brought colleges to the center, but they don't follow. They get interested, they get attracted, but they don't stay. And as I was 24 when I came to Baba, and I have a big family, and my connection with my Lokic family never broke. So once a week I went there helping the family and come back to the center. So it was very natural. And this helps me also to understand Baba on a different level, to bring that not everything is up in the sky, it's also a reality here. Therefore, I love Sakamulis. I find them very practical, very down to earth. And in the Lokic world, it's more the behavior, how we handle things, what is our consciousness, where we can reach out to people to do the service. Do your best in Amrit Vela morning class. Say good night to Baba, if you try, but also be there for the family, because you will get a big apron of blessings from them when you show that you are still there for them.
Yes, yeah, so it's the question is about balancing, as I understood. I'm same situation. Sometimes, I was very engaged in the center. I had a job on a quite demanding level. I'm in the Ministry of Environment, and I'm in a leading position there, so very high in the government. So that was sometimes quite interesting. And then I had also, we had no children, but me and my wife at home. And sometimes, you know, it was, I asked Baba, what have I done, you know, that I have deserved this, you know, because center was difficult, many problems, many conflicts, many things going on. In the work was sometimes quite intense and demanding. And when I came home, and of course, even though we were both Brahmins, but we had different sanskaras, so there was also not always heaven at home, no? Like, and so when I had literally no space to be on myself, you know, it like from morning to night, always with people, always difficult and no escape. And so it took me really a lot of time, but what I would say is make sure your family is happy with you, first priority. Secondly, do your job properly, and whatever energy you have, that is for service. I would put that in the long run. Secondly, sometimes we are able to combine these things, so do that. Also do some sports. because if your body is a bit fit, you have more power to do all of that regularly. Like even now, twice a week I really play tough sports, tennis and run up a mountain or something. And also, what makes the level of your mental energy is, of course, Amritvela, all of these things. But also one point, don't punish yourself if you don't succeed in any of these things. That is the main thing. Don't lower your energy more by not being capable and come into a state of constant deficiency if you don't wake up for Amritvela, because you're just too tired. You had to take care of your children, they were sick or whatever, or you have early job, and you don't have one thought of feeling low or repent or not adequate or never, ever. That's really important. So always be kind, soft, and loving to yourself. You won't be able to manage these three things perfectly. There will be always difficulties, there will be always things not working. It's totally okay. Right? 100%. So, secondly, during the day, what saves energy is to concentrate on lesser waste thinking. Not too much thinking about this and that problem and with this work or worries or too much planning and, but efficient, and keep your mind as much as possible free of too many thinking, and then you will have actually much more energy to do all these three areas more like from a state of power. That's maybe for a few thoughts. It's a big topic.
Thank you. Very good questions coming up and very good answers. I have three questions that have come to me. And the first one is, now in the confluence age, where is my focus? Am I correcting a mistake that has been made? Or am I improving what will be done in the future, that is in eternity?
We all do mistakes. Mistakes are there to grow. No one has to be afraid of doing mistakes. Because mistakes, I think the obvious one, no one is doing a mistake out of a purpose. When I do a mistake, something happened, okay. Then I focus more on the future. Really, not to regret what I have done. I can say sorry, definitely, to clarify the things. But the aim is really to look forward, to learn from it, and then take it as a step to go on.
So not sure if I understood the question right. With mistakes, do you talk about the karmic accounts of the past, or mistakes you make now in Brahman life?
I believe the question is about that's been made in the past.
Yeah, that's
so
what how I
before
how
I was a Brahmin.
How I understood. The English word mistake is quite nice. It means mistake. So you took the wrong thing, right? So Baba says because we all became body conscious, we took everything wrong, right? And he says, all of you have the biggest burden on your head. And it's definitely so. When I came in knowledge and I understood for knowledge also how inner work functions, I thought, well, I'm doing this now and in 3 weeks I'm ready. I'm through. But reality is completely different. our sanskaras are so sticky and so deep, and our burdens we don't even know, probably 95%. And so the main thing is no guilt feelings of any kind. No, nothing. No, even Baba says, even in Brahmin life, you make a mistake, there was a Murli. And he said, and then you are repenting when you realize. And then he said, but don't repent too much. No, repent only short, and that's it. You know, don't spend 4 hours or a whole day repenting. That is by far too much. So Baba knows we want to clean it a little bit up, but do it short and then finish and don't think about it. No, so it's nothing to do with repentance or making mistakes right or working it out. It's more about by bringing your true nature again on the surface and then gain enough energy. And Sister Chandipen once told to me, if you have enough energy, mental energy, spiritual energy, you won't make one mistake. Because then you will always use the right virtue. There's no reason not to use this. We make only mistakes when we are afraid, which means or in fear or confused or, you know, under pressure or whatever. Then we make mistake, which means we can't apply for virtues properly. If we have enough energy, we will automatically apply only for virtues and there won't be anything wrong. And so it's all about really bringing this beauty out, making it aware that we have it all and it's there and let me use it. And that's only about this, nothing else.
Thank you again. Time is passing quickly and we might go over for a few minutes, okay, because we have some very good questions and very good answers. So the next question is, in Madhavan, I'm always happy, but how do I maintain that stage when I go back to my country?
You have heard the story of Didi Sudesh. She said, after coming here, be with Baba, and Baba said after 3 days, now it's time to go. We also have to go because it's time for us to share all the jewels we got and also the happiness which we take here in Madhuban. It's not that we can stay here and think, oh, it will be forever. It is like we are clouds. We have to go, but we will come back, definitely. Don't think, oh, I don't know if I can make it next year. Nowadays, we have all the technical things that we can be in Madhuban, get the feeling of Madhuban, and take it with us. So the happiness you experience here, honor it, make it your happiness with Baba, and then go to your country, even if it seems in the beginning difficult. Take it, remember it, the happiness which you had experienced here, and it will stay with you, and it will even grow. Because you see, happiness is something which comes from my side, what I understood from me, from contentment. If there is contentment, I can take this happiness everywhere where I am.
So at least according to my experience, you won't be able to keep that stage at home. At least I never succeeded. Otherwise I wouldn't probably come anymore. It's a lot of effort to come here. But that means when you are here, you have a big chance to take maximum energy. So don't waste your time in sitting with people hours and talking after lunch or whatever, or after breakfast. And also not just do the regular daytime timetable, but take extra times to go to these power places here, to go into Baba's room, into History Hall in the evening, into Tower of Peace. Take extra time, because that will fill you up, and then it keeps longer. At least I notice it keeps me up a few months if you really take what you can take here and don't waste your time here. There are secret places. Under Om Shanti Bhavan is a beautiful meditation room. And I used to go and still do in the afternoons for 1 or 2 hours, often alone, and just sit there, put the lights on nicely with a red and everything. You know, I do my own program. And then prepare myself for the evening meditation, that I come already with a really vibrating state, and then go into History Hall, sit with these old yogis, and get more power, and next day more, and go with that energy home, and then it will keep for quite a while.
Thank you. And one more question, a very important question from today's Merle. Could you please explain or describe what is the feelings and experiences of the bodiless stage?
The secret, as we in our service places are not in this high energy like here, we are can experience the bodiless stage, the contrast between the stage where I am in body consciousness and where I am bodiless, much easier to recognize the differences than here in Madhuban, because here the energy is so high that we often not realize that we are already experienced the bodiless stage. But in the service places, you have a different energy, and you can feel what it means. Get I attracted from the body, or when I am in this bodiless stage, in this stage where I am really aware I am immortal, nothing can happen to me, I am with Baba, and no matter what is around, I can really detach from this. This is for me the experience of the bodiless stage at the moment. And because time is short, I think, Hans.
Yes. Again, this is one of the basic topics. And naturally, we won't be able to experience bodiless state right away. Maybe some do, due to some old bhakti practices, or, you know. But it's something, well, as again, I'm coming more from thinking and from knowledge. For me, to even think, actually when I'm in troubles, I use this a lot. I have made it like a habit to very quickly think, I am not this body, I am just this being sitting in this brain somewhere, and I'm so small, nothing can touch me. And this makes me untouchable. I really withdraw from everything, very practical. And I imagine an unlimited point which is invisible, nothing can touch from this physical world. And that helps me a lot. It's a practice I'm doing. It's like a drill. And it goes faster when you practice during the day again and again for a minute or two or three, going back, I am just nothing to do with all of this here, you know. Nothing can touch me if I don't want. And go back to that state. And so that gradually becomes like an experience or a feeling of have nothing to do with anything and of silence. It actually brings my mind, calms it very quickly down. But there are different stages, obviously. Once I was in a silence retreat in Delhi with old teachers for 5 days. And after that, we went to Madhuban. And only here I realized what different state I had from that. I was really going around. Things were happening. I was watching them. And nothing touched me even slightly. I was like in a different state altogether. So that was a different state of being bodiless. It was like a practical experience all the time. But then gradually it diminished. So there are different stages, obviously. With being with Dadis, for example, when they give you drishti, it sometimes happened I was like in a different state without doing anything. And even sitting with these yogis, that's why I every day go at 3:30 in the morning in the history hall. And there's one brother sitting, and just sitting in front of him for half an hour takes me beyond. You know, so using those things, you know, I'm not able to create it myself so well yet. It takes more effort. Why not taking it the easy way? But that needs what Baba calls drill. It needs really this regular experience, and it starts with thoughts, but make it very, it's a reality. Make it like that's really how it is, you know, make it real. And then you get an experience that it's helping you to overcome difficult situations. It's a very, very useful exercise. Every day should be done.
Thank you very much. We don't want anybody to leave disappointed. So if anyone has a burning question that you would really like answered, is there anyone here? Okay. Well, I think they were very good questions that you asked, and within these questions were many other questions. So thank you all, and you all know Sister Gopi and Brother Hans now. So if you have a question, you can just find them and ask. Yes? Very good. Okay, thank you so much for this session. Yes, it's okay to applaud. And I think now we'll begin yoga for the next session, which is a panel, which will also be very enlightening.
Maybe we have a minute of silence.
Let's have a minute of silence.